Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Just a few minutes after 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, 2 hours removed from the Patriots wrapping up their 2024 season with a 23-16 defeat of the Buffalo Bills and their backups at Gillette Stadium. Finishing the season 4-13, costing the franchise the first overall draft pick. They now will select fourth in the 2025 NFL Draft. Perhaps that draft pick will be made by Elliott Wolf, who it appears will retain his job within the Patriots' hierarchical front office executive structure. However, who the head coach of the team will be, we don't know. One thing we do know is it will not be Gerard Mayo, as he has been removed as head coach of the New England Patriots after just one season. Back to the phones we go, to the good people of Pat's Nation. Up next, boy, he must have an opinion or two on this one. Jake is in Australia. Jake, what a season.
Good morning.
Indeedly, pool boy. How are you, my friend, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. I'm sorry, I tried to call you last week, but you guys were full chockers with just calls.
Yeah, it was loaded last week. People were not happy last week.
This just in, not this week.
I was real happy to wake up and see Milton do a backflip. That was excellent.
Yes.
But the rest of the game, it was one of the ones where I was on the fence. If we won, we won. If we lost, awesome, we lost. But the silver lining, we get new coaches. Hopefully they can train new players. We might entice some people to come along with them. But I'm going to throw a little theory / rumor out there. Elliott Wolf is the guy. He's the one pulling the strings. He got Bill fired. He got Mayo fired. He's that guy.
Interesting. So
I don't hate it. That's something worth talking about.
We needed a new conspiracy theory brought to
the
table.
I like it,
Jake. I like it.
Yeah. And how do you hide that fact best?
He was the one drafted.
You hide that fact best by not being given the executive vice president role for months after the draft, for making it look like, oh, you're kind of begging for your supper or whatever there, and then all of a sudden you're actually the one pulling all the strings running the show. I like it, Jake.
Yeah, and we do a sneaky bad draft to throw Mayo in the fire and get him sacked by the end of the year, which
but
he
it cost
done,
me a McConkie, Jake. I can't handle it.
Oh, stick your
mouth. You're telling me it was McDuffie the year before.
I know. Why? Honest to goodness.
We don't like the mix around here. Wait, what?
Now, what are you doing? Trying to start
McConkie
a riot?
And McDuffie.
We heard it. We understood, but at the same
although
time,
although we
like
McDaniels.
We do.
So now
maybe that's the mix we're going to get next year.
You never know. They have to go through a process. This won't be a sham of an interview process, but there are already many people sharing their thoughts on social media and beyond that this is going to be, that it's already fait accompli that the next head coach is definitely going to be Mike Vrabel. They'll just bring in the proper number of interviews to comply with Rooney Rule and beyond.
Here we go for the next theory as well. Did you see the footage of May and Allen having a good old chat at the start of the game, like pre-game?
Yes.
Oh, no. Go on, please.
They were chumming it up in the middle of the field. That was May getting all the goss on Dable before he comes in as OC next year.
Oh, I would like that, too. I mean, he's still employed, but I would like that,
too. I think he's going to be employed, Andy.
Yeah, only for the moment. Only for the moment he's still employed.
That is true. It could change. Who would you prefer? Would you prefer Dable or McDaniels?
Both great. McDaniels, I feel, has had his run. But Dable, what he's done with Allen and how Allen sits now, I would happily take that being the last sort of 5 years instead of the last 20 years of Brady.
Okay. Yeah, I would take Dable. I think I would like Dable. I think Dable-Vrabel would be a very interesting mix.
That's good. I like it. The Dable-Vrabel connection.
Vrabel. Yes, that
Vrabel
would work.
Come and he bring Dable too. Right. That wasn't bad.
If you just need to take a quick second, if you
that
want,
was
like,
pretty good.
You
screw you.
Grab a shower, or maybe a cold bed, popsicle, Andy, or something. Maybe you get a juice box. Maybe a juice box. Jake, listen, I just want to say, or a Miller Lite, grab one for me too. A little hair of the dog would be nice. Listen, Jake, I just want to say on behalf of
Poor Ryan.
We'll have a global Miller Lite Fest.
Honestly, you have no idea how excited I am to get home tonight. And Golden Globes on one TV, the battle for the NFC North on the other, and a frosty bev in hand, and just decompress from this wild bananas day and this crazy train ride of a season, and now this huge breaking news. But let me just say, Jake, on behalf of the postgame show, everyone who listens to it, you've been a constant source of entertainment, a great chat, a loyal listener and a fan, and we appreciate you very much, and we look forward to you being one of the first calls after the Patriots win their first game in the Mike Vrabel era next September. Until then, find a way to keep in touch, keep those pools clean, drink up, God bless, and go Pats. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Good. Enjoy your year, guys. Talk to you soon.
You as well, Jake. Bye now. Jake from Australia, everybody, here on the Six Rings Post.
A.K.A. Show. The good Jake.
Well, don't rile up the other one, because he's on hold.
I know, that's why I did it.
You're not allowed to throw a steak to the caged animal that's about to be unleashed in the gladiatorial arena and then run up and just be like, well, this should be fun to watch.
Poke the bear.
You know what? I was going to take another call, but here. Hello, Jake from Boston. Have your moment.
Thank you, Andy, for getting me through the line quicker. Did you see Gerard wasn't wearing the pin today?
Yeah, we saw that, and then Mike Reese brought it up, and Gerard did not care for it.
He kind of clapped back at Mike Reese.
He got sensey and defensive.
You guys are still wrong in your positivity. This is ownership problem first, coaching second, and as you know, my opinion is they're cursed as long as the Kraft's still on the team. Number one, Kraft admitted in his statement his desperation when seeing other teams interview Gerard Mayo in 2022, which should be the first question someone nails Kraft down on, because if another team hires your minority coach due to the Rooney Rule, you actually get draft capital, and it's decent draft capital. And I could have told you 2 years ago, based on that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's better than what they got watching Brady walk out the door, right?
A fourth.
It's better than what you got for Gronk.
A fourth.
Correct. So, listen, I could have told you 2 years ago, based off of he and his wife's social media, that this was not going to work out. And there's no sympathy here. I don't feel bad. Mayo started stabbing Bill in the back in 2021, even when they were winning. First, he was upset going to Robert to complain about Steve's camera time and credit, wanted credit then. And then he posted Instagram stories like a 12-year-old girl about how he saw right through Bill. It was bad in terms of that was in 2021. Then he runs to Tommy Curran the next 2 years and cries off the record. So there's no sympathy. Then you mentioned the obvious point, which is if you were going to do this, letting him coach the game today when you needed to lose for draft capital was malpractice. And the equivalent of moving down from 1 to 4, I believe, is the 12th pick, right? The 12th pick?
Yeah.
And that's just your first round pick. And that's just your first round pick. That doesn't count moving down three places in the second, third, and fourth round, which correct, also has value. And then I do think Vrabel is overrated. I do like Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame. I think if I had a blank check, that's where I would go. But I hope Vrabel fleeces Kraft financially just to watch him suffer. And if I thought it was a Ben Volen tweet that was really interesting this morning on Mike Vrabel, specifically about his 10-day trip to Italy during the Browns bye week, and I know he was a consultant, and I know he didn't really give a lot of effort during the season, and I did note that he mentioned the Park City house. The only positive is if Vrabel gets mad at Jonathan and stuffs him in a locker where he belongs, that'll be a win. That's my thought.
Well, all right, Jake, at least you stuck the landing on your final call on the final Six Rings postgame show. You kept it clean. It wasn't too salacious. It was to time. Thank you. We appreciate your calls and your energy on the postgame show as well.
So I brought up the Marcus Freeman thing at the end of
that one, Andy.
Well, he did just sign a contract extension with Notre Dame in December.
It's like the salary cap. It's all paper. It doesn't matter.
Probably. Yeah, I was trying to look to see if there was like a buyout. I was trying to do a quick Google. I don't know.
Or maybe just a clause, perhaps, sir, in there that says if you get offered a promotion, which I believe going from, even though college football is now a professional sport, I believe that there's a promotion involved. Couldn't he potentially exit?
Potentially. My guess is it would cost a buyout.
Isn't that like the Harbaugh clause when he won with Michigan and then got hired by the Chargers? Is that like the same thing?
No, because I don't believe he ever signed the extension. He was supposedly signing an extension with Michigan and then never actually signed it or something. But buyouts are a thing because, you know, the Bill Belichick story. He has a $10 million buyout until June, and then it becomes a $1 million buyout. And that's why there's been a lot of talk of, is that weird? Is he trying to pave the road for something? But, no, I like the Marcus Freeman has a – he's done a very good job at Notre Dame. He definitely has the CEO modern look to him. He looks the part, and he seems to be beloved by some of his players there. But, no, I think there's more likely candidates that we're talking about. I think Mike Vrabel is the most likely candidate, and I think Ben Johnson should be on the list. And getting back to the expedited elevation of Jerod Mayo because Robert was worried that other teams were sniffing around him, you know what this harkens back to? The good old days of the Boston Red Sox when they promoted Butch Hobson because teams were sniffing around Butch Hobson, who I believe was the manager of the Paw Sox at the time. I think the A's were interested or something, and they fast-tracked him to Boston, and it didn't work. I think there's lessons to be had here. Just because people are sniffing around doesn't mean you need to panic and fast-track people for roles that they may not be ready for or that you may not believe they are ready for, and that was certainly the case here.
Yeah, it's sort of like, oh, the, you know, Terry Francona, the chicken and beer, and hey, we'll just go get this guy. And they're like, well, why the Bobby Valentine thing? Why? I mean, this feels like that in a lot of ways, minus somebody threatening to punch the big O in the face, but otherwise. Wow. Yeah, people are legitimately, now that the news is settling in, I think people's heads are going to be spinning for a while on this one, Andy. I think this is going to be...
Or maybe they announce Mike Vrabel as the head coach of the Patriots tomorrow.
Can't do that.
Why?
Because they have to interview several people.
Oh, they'll interview several people.
In the next 24 hours?
It's a long day. You can Zoom them on.
5-minute Zoom. Hi, what's your name? Aaron Glenn. Thanks.
What? You can do whatever you need to do.
Yeah,
that's how the interview goes. So tell me, what would you do that Mike Vrabel would not?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Bye.
Yeah. Bad connections. Don't call back. 617-779-7937 is your number. More reactions, more news, more updates surrounding the New England Patriots organization that, as of this moment, does not have a head coach. Jerod Mayo has been relieved of his duties. We are reacting to it live with you on the Six Rings postgame show. And right now, we are updating you on everything else going on in the wide world of sports with our producer extraordinaire, Joe Braverman. This is one hell of a ballroom blitz tonight, everyone. Here, Andy Hart and I on the Six Rings postgame show, we're thinking that the majority of our time today up until 7:30 was going to be all about the Patriots blowing their shot at the first overall draft pick in the 2025 draft by defeating the backup Bills from Buffalo today at Gillette, 23-16. Turns out that may very well have been the desire of Jerod Mayo if he had been told or had been whispered to that he was going to be removed from power as head coach of the Patriots, and that is exactly what is the story now here, locally, regionally, and nationally. Jerod Mayo out after less than one calendar year, but one NFL season as the coach of the Patriots. Whatever reason, what's that?
I was just going to say, we also have to point out that the announcement came almost an hour after the game, like an hour 15.
At tops, which does beg this question first. Is that the quickest firing anybody can? I mean, people obviously get fired in season, so they don't get to complete the season. That's pretty quick. But is this the fastest post-game firing of a one-year coach that you can remember, Andy?
I feel like there's been others like this that happened within minutes of the post-game press conference. I feel like Jacksonville had one at some point, and I may be just kind of pulling from a CTE flawed brain here, but I think there's been a few other examples of 1 o'clock game, 4:15 press conference. By 5 o'clock or so, you know that the guy has already been fired.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation. Like I said, I still think there's a chance he knew going into the game, based on his mood and his post-game mood and everything that went into that. So, yeah, it's a unique situation. I just retweeted something. Gronk was really surprised, shocked on the Fox set, and he thinks it's unfair, and I agree with him. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. I'm just saying you can make an argument this is unfair for what you threw Jerod Mayo into and then how quickly you pulled the ripcord.
We both agree that he was basically... This was not the intent, we don't believe, as much as it was fun to hear Jake from Australia and his conspiratorial theory that Elliot Wolf has been secretly pulling the strings as the Kaiser Soze of the organization now that we found out that he's expected to retain his job as executive VP of player personnel with the Patriots.
But I think we both agreed that while it was not an intentional setup for failure and that they knew there were going to be bumps in the road, the Kraft family believed, or at least Robert Kraft believed, that Gerard Mayo would grow and evolve and turn into a great head coach and return the organization to not its past glory, but some form of relevance and competitive goodness. They did not intentionally set him up to fail, but that's exactly by surrounding him by no football czars, no great football minds, a bunch of rookie coordinators and coaches, first-timers, etc. Oh, and sadly, the worst roster in the NFL. That's exactly what they did. So I agree. As a matter of fact, our producer Joe Braverman just whispered in me ear that he's got the audio of Gronk reacting to Gerard Mayo's dismissal.
Season as the Patriots head coach.
I was shocked by that, and to happen that soon was a shocker to a lot of people, especially here at the desk. We were all surprised by that. I think it was unfair to coach Gerard Mayo. I mean, he had never had the chance to develop as a head coach. He was just a rookie himself in that department. And if you judge a coach by their first year, that's really not appropriate. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, you went 1-15 your first year, and then you won a couple Super Bowls after that. I mean, he really...
Hey, we got to go to break.
All
right, we're going to keep talking about that.
Gronk wanted to keep going.
He did. How about who was that? Kurt Menefee or Michael Strahan saying we got to go to break?
Yeah, Strahan interrupted him, and then Menefee was like, "Okay, we'll talk about this more in a little bit."
Yeah. Before Gronk got any further out over his verbal skis, I get it. No, but he's right. I think a lot of us thought there would have, like, Belichick's dismissal. Robert Kraft made a point of calling that elegant. Correct. He wanted to try to find the most elegant
solution or whatever.
The elegant solution, yes. Sounds
this
like
was
movie.
Not elegant.
Sounds like a movie on Netflix After Dark.
No. Nope.
This was about as inelegant as possible. This was bloody. But I will give Mr. Kraft credit. Even though we do need to debate whether or not it was a good idea, I say a bad idea, to let him coach if he knew that he was going to be dismissed and thereby win that game and cost your franchise the first overall draft pick and all the draft capital that would accompany it. Mr. Kraft was willing to write the memo, write all the checks, and swing the axe himself. So, whoo, boy, what a week this is going to be. Let's go back to the phones, shall we? Andy, John's in the car. Hello, John. Thanks for holding.
You know, one of my disappointments of him going so quickly is that, like, we can't just react to, like, some of the stupid things that happened today or, like, the last couple weeks. Like, one of my, like, the last favorite things that he was saying was, like, oh, it's a coach's decision. Well, you're the coach. That's why we're asking you what your decision-making was in that case. Like, so it was the coach's decision to put Milton in on the second time he got the ball. But it was also a coach's decision to not tell him until when you were putting him in the game. So I wonder how Joe Milton would have done if he was, I don't know, slightly more prepared to, like, when he was going to go in the game today. I mean, that would have been nice for his development and for his chance. Like, that goes this whole thing of, like, you didn't actually nobody you already want to win the win, you wanted to win the game, it didn't matter. It was so annoying that they blew this one, and they absolutely should not have let him coach. Like, why was Duggar playing?
Correct.
Duggar was hurt. There was no reason for him to be playing.
Nope.
There was somebody else who was like, why is this guy playing? There's no reason for him to be out there. Like, if you're like on the edge of being an injury, there was another start I can't remember. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks. This is ultimately, he was embarrassing himself today in that press conference, and this is the right move to make. But I really am, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop, because who knows who Kraft is going to keep around. Like, okay, so Wolf is going to be kept around. Maybe AVP, like, he's going to force him upon that. Like, I hope the Kraft read what he wrote and says, I'm going to step back and let somebody else make some decisions about football. Because, quite frankly, I've sucked the past 5 years.
All right, John, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah,
there was a lot there.
There was a lot to pack, a lot to chew on, a lot to work with. By the way, the Mayo thing has also railroaded the idea that Joe Milton was basically informed, like, okay, you're in, kid, like was never told of the plan. Was that because they wanted to see how he would respond to being called to duty on a moment's notice? Or, again, was that from the people that brought you Ramondre's benched and Gibson starting comes Joe Milton's surprise? Seriously.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know why you would do it that way. I mean, he knew he was going to play because, A, he was active, and, B, he had taken reps during the week that he had never taken before. So I think
he's got reps, correct?
No, first and second team reps.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think he's a smart enough man to be like, hey, something feels different. And just being active. I mean, he was active. He's not the emergency third quarterback. He's literally active and allowed to go in anytime they want him to go in. So he knew he was going to play. Why you didn't give him some indication on a Saturday or a Friday or whatever, I don't know. That's one of the many questions we probably will never get answers to from this Mayo-Van Pelt regime. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson was benched this week. He didn't play, so that's good. 1 week later than they planned on benching him and then starting him. So, and John in the car is right. Like, this does sort of, we could have had a very, I won't say good 3 hour show, but a normal 3 hour show breaking down this game, ripping some of the decisions, questioning things. And then the carpet was just pulled out from underneath all of that by the bigger picture decision to move on from Jerod Mayo. And now we're talking about bigger picture issues like, is Mike Vrabel the right guy? Is he going to be hired by Elliott Wolf? Does he want to work with Elliott Wolf? Is Elliott Wolf being forced upon him? Could Josh McDaniels be forced upon him? Like, There's a lot of questions here, big picture, that I'm going to be interested to see how this all plays out. And then also, sort of the post-mortem of Mayo. I'm sure we're going to hear from Mayo. I'm sure Mayo is going to utilize his friends in the media. I would assume we will see or hear something on NBC Sports Boston from Tom Curran or Phil Perry.
Oh, he's got to score that. Curran is going to score the exclusive.
I would hope so. They're boys. I mean, he's a former co-host on that station. That's where he should do it.
Wow. Man, this is I got to be honest. This is a lot to take in. Let's keep moving. Let's keep the Six Rings postgame show rolling right here. Andy, Paul in the Cape. Hello, Paul. What's going on, my friend?
Wow, that was a wait. Hey, in 50-plus years of following this team, I don't think I've ever been so bummed out after a win. And One of you about 3 weeks ago made the point that what does he do well, Jerod Mayo? And I've stole that. It's thievery. That's exactly what I've been saying because he did nothing well. He just seems like a nice guy, smart guy. That was a debacle today. You know, if they had just gotten the pick, This would have been a successful season as far as I'm concerned, but it wasn't. Instead of three minimum impact players, minimum, they're now going to get one because they could have traded down and gotten a couple more draft picks. And it's hard to screw up a first or a second round. They do it, but it's hard to do it. So they're going to have to hit with some of the late round picks. It's unbelievable. And I agree with you when you said that you think he knew and he sabotaged them. I think that's exactly what happened. And shame on the crafts for letting him coach the game. Simple as that.
Yes. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Paul. And yeah, Andy, that does kind of feels like organizational malfeasance. If you like, here, Jerod, we'll let you. This is it. We'll let you try to get your best game possible on tape out there,
sir. Should we let him coach? Because what if he wins and we lose the overall pick?
Oh, I probably should have thought of that in advance, shouldn't I?
Yep, you probably should have thought of that. But
God, what a cost! So it's not only going to cost all the checks that Kraft Sports needs to write now to AVP, Covington, Mayo, and anybody else that's dismissed, but also it just cost you all those picks.
Oh, absolutely! To me,
how
that's
expensive
huge.
Was this? Jeez!
Oh, it can't be exaggerated. You know, I had a buddy text me. He was like, "Oh, well, you know, they can make up for it in free agency." I was like, "No, you can't.
No.
If you had gotten the first pick and traded it down, you were getting multiple first round picks and second round picks, whatever it ended up being, on rookie 5-year contracts that you can't make up that value." And I'm not even saying you nail the picks that they are the greatest players ever and they're all pros. I'm just saying, cost-controlled starters, decent players, filling of holes that you could have done this year, next year, to fast-track the rebuild. Now you have one first-round pick because I want to say it again. I don't think you're going to be able to trade the fourth pick in the draft. Even if you wanted to, I don't think you're going to get much for it because everybody is saying this isn't a great draft. There's not a lot of blue-chip players. There's not going to be the draw for teams to come up to four. You're hoping the draw was to come up to one or two for one of the quarterbacks. Now that that's gone, you're not getting the two best quarterbacks, if they're even up there, and you're not getting the best player in the draft. So, you know, we're back to, well, can we be happy with just a tackle? Can we give Drake May a tackle at four and then hopefully early in the second round we can get something else that's beneficial, and hopefully you can sign T. Higgins or a veteran receiver. But the Andy Hart dream plan of all these first-round picks and maybe trading these first-round picks for players like Max Crosby or...
you could have gotten... You know what that could have turned into?
DK Metcalf.
Andy? Yes, it would have turned into DK Metcalf if you had an extra second-round pick.
And you can still do that, but it's going to be more costly because you're not going to have the extra money.
Damn it, it was free.
Yep. Yep. So that is what's lost. For people that continue to wonder, what's the big deal? You fell three spots. You're still in the top. That's what you've lost. You've lost a lot. You've lost a lot that will affect you next year and years down the road. That's the reality. But I also would argue, if you nail the hell out of the head coach.
With the wind, yes.
And you have Drake May and he's who you think he is, you're still moving in the right direction. If you nail the head coach higher, we've seen it across the NFL. If you pair up the right quarterback with the right head coach, the other stuff will start to fall into place. That's kind of how it works.
And hopefully now, Andy, as I said earlier in the show, that if things were changed, if there was a move made, and there was, and it was swift, succinct, and merciless, that this would be an optics-based thing to try to start cleaning up a lot of the negative press surrounding, the negative tone, the toxicity surrounding Pats Nation, the stadium, the fan base, the organization, etc. This may also now... Even though it looks bad in the moment, like, man, do I want to go there? They don't pay anybody. They fire the coach after a year. Like, no. They made a mistake, and they cleaned it up. And, yes, we all saw it, but now it's okay to go there. And as a matter of fact, they are going to pick a direction. They will pick a tone. They will truly try to establish a culture. So, yes, this should make the Patriots more desirable. One more call, Andy, before the break. Is this postgame show is just absolutely flying by the lines. Unlike Route 1, are jammed right now. All right, Justin down in Washington, D.C. It's technically night now. Good evening, Justin.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm hoping you can help my grave concern that firing Mayo, which I support, is just putting a lipstick on a pig. Andy, I heard you say the teams that nail the head coach and nail the quarterback make giant leaps. But if we look at just a couple, right, the Lions, the Commanders, and the Texans, they all drafted well. And they all even signed some free agents. And in addition to that, it's because they had somebody with clear eyes and a big brain running that front office. And the reports today that we're going to keep Elliott Wolf freak me the heck out. I think it's disgusting. I think it's emblematic of the stability that you mentioned, which is the Crafts are just a dysfunctional ownership group. And it really reminds me of the Jets, Dan Schneider and the Commanders. There's nothing good about this. If Elliott Wolf stays, we remain in a five-year rebuild. So please tell me how I'm wrong.
So I would argue that Elliott Wolf has a decent resume. He had a terrible spring that if I were trying to play devil's advocate, I would blame a little bit on the changes he made to the grading system and the type of player they wanted and doing that late in the process with scouts that had been scouting players and prospect for a full year, and that there is the potential that he could get a much better handle on the draft this year with a full year under his belt and all the scouts working under his system and his expectations. Now, you obviously have to now marry that up with a coach that works with him and that he can find the talent for the coach's systems and schemes. So maybe that's Mike Vrabel running the defense and that's Josh McDaniels running the offense. So there's some familiarity there, carry over there. Maybe that'll work. I think, it's funny. The UK Pats fans put out a question. If Mike Vrabel had never played for the Patriots, would fans want him as much? Probably not. And I agree with that. The opposite is true of Elliott Wolf. If he had never worked in New England, would you still want him as a potential GM hire? And I think you would because of his resume, his name. He was in Green Bay. He was in Cleveland, like his stops and his experiences and all of that. I think would give him a little bit of cachet. So I think him carrying that cachet into a critical second season is just part of his journey, as Gerard Mayo would say.
But Andy, if we don't get Mike Vrabel, and assuming that that's Robert Kraft's hire, there's reports that Ben Johnson wants to bring in his own front office person. Elliott Wolf is not only... My concern is if we still have Elliott Wolf in any functional organization, I hear your argument, but any functional organization would not let an unmitigated disaster who thought Chuck Okorafor was going to fix our offensive line remain in his job with the number 4 overall pick and a guy who hired Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator to lead a very promising rookie quarterback to the 31st best offense. I'm just freaking out, and I think the rebuild remains as long as Elliott Wolf does. So thanks, gents.
I will agree with you that if Ben Johnson wants to come and bring Ray Agnew with him, that's a really enticing option, in my opinion. A really enticing option because...
Oh, Ray Agnew is as his coordinator or pass game coordinator?
No, Ray Agnew is their assistant general manager. He would be his general manager.
He is the assistant general No, the one that he wants to bring, or so I read last week, Andy, is Adam Peters' assistant from Washington. So basically, Adam Peters used to be Lynch's assistant for everyone not in the know.
Yeah,
out in San Francisco, he gets the bump. He becomes the GM of the Commanders. They crush the offseason. Now his assistant is one of the hot commodities in the GM circles. And that's
I'm not as high on that. I think the Lions have done a great job building a team. I think the Commanders will see. I think the Commanders are a work in progress, and I don't love the 3 degrees of separation from the 49ers. Because I do think that's where you should be looking. The Eagles, the Lions, the 49ers, some of the most talented teams in football. How did they build it? How did they go about it? Is there an assistant that we can bring in? I would prefer somebody from Detroit. But if he has a relationship, I think that's as key as anything. If you can bring in a guy, because that's where it went south in Tennessee. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel weren't on the same page, you know, with A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where it succeeded for a long time in Seattle with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. That's where it's pretty much succeeding in San Francisco, because I do think that Shanahan and Lynch have a good working relationship, as far as I know. You know, when you're on the outside, you never really know for sure. But I think, and that's important. And that's why I have questions about Elliott Wolf sticking around and Mike Vrabel joining him. Does Vrabel want Elliott Wolf? Is he being forced in? Like, forced marriages to me aren't great for success in the NFL. I think the guys have to be aligned.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will do our best to get to you. The calls are loaded and jammed up. We'll try to take the calls and get through every one of them. Plus, we'll do a quick rapid-fire version of Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down for the game. And let's do an impromptu one on the season as well. We're with you till 7:30 this evening, at which point we throw it to Westwood One's coverage of what likely, I know it's the final game of the year, and it could very well be the game of the year. The 14-2 Minnesota Vikings at the 14-2 Detroit Lions for the NFC North, the number one seed in the NFC, bragging rights, and a whole lot more. Should be a hell of a night to be a football fan. Andy's excited to get home and watch the Golden Globes. It's the Six Rings Postgame Show, live on WEEI. This was one of the days you won't be forgetting as a Patriots fan anytime soon for a multitude of reasons. That would be an understatement, as significant as the size of the lighthouse and the TV in one end of the stadium and the bombshell that was dropped in the other end by the owner. Gerard Mayo removed as head coach of the New England Patriots after one season, less than a calendar year. It was January 17th. When the Thunder Buddy Association was formed for all to see, Andy, and it was January 5th, 2025. So it was 354 days.
Wow. That's a short stint.
That is not long.
Nope. Nope.
Wowie, wowie, wow. So what's next? So before I jump back to the calls, let's... And once again, thank you guys for listening to the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app, and our fabulous network of affiliates. If you missed any of the show today, we will post it always right afterward to the Six Rings podcast feed. Make sure you subscribe, listen wherever you can, Spotify, Apple Pods, the Odyssey app, and whatever else. And we are brought to you proudly by our friends at McFarlane Energy. So, yeah, quick timeline. What happens next? What should we expect tomorrow and in the coming days and weeks?
Well, I mean, you're already seeing some of the other reports that AVP was fired, which I kind of assumed. It's funny. I just assumed they're all fired personally, or at least out of a job for now.
Yeah, fired? Like, so not even, like, I guess they would probably want to speak to whoever is the next head coach or offensive coordinator to find out if they'd want to hold him, right, for a QB coach.
Yeah, I mean, you could be rehired, I guess. I don't know. It's a little weird to me. To me, you just fire the head coach and everybody else assumes, oh, I'm probably out too because that's the guy I worked for kind of thing. You know, we're getting these reports that Chad Graff and then Andrew Callahan, that Elliott Wolf is safe. I find that weird and probably premature unless Jake is right and he was really the wizard behind the curtain, kind of controlling it all from afar. I think you need to sit back and have bigger picture conversations because – that will be affected by who's coming in, as we just talked about. If it's Ben Johnson, if you know, there's been sort of reports that the two names are Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. Well, you know, Ben Johnson would seem to likely not want Elliott Wolf, and Mike Vrabel, I'm not sure. So I think we're going to get a lot of reporting on a lot of these things moving forward. I would think you'd get the Vrabel interview immediately, and then the other names will start to percolate up over the next couple days. Are they going to be in on so-and-so? Are they going to put in a request to speak to so-and-so kind of thing? That'll all probably happen. You know, it's funny because Schefter and Giardi both said it might take a little while, and a little while was like 10 minutes after the press conference. So who knows what's going to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours.
And here Joe Milton was thinking all along, like, man, I thought we'd all be talking about my excellent debut, the backflip and that rocket touchdown that didn't count. Whew. Wow. A lot can happen in just a few minutes in Pats Nation, Andy. Best watch out or try to keep up. Otherwise, you could get passed right by. Let's go to our next caller. Sean is in Hopedale. He's been hanging for a little bit. What's up, Sean? Sean, where are you, kid? All right. Corey in Fall River, you're next on Six Rings.
How you doing? So I was always anti-Mayo, and I gave him a chance because I always wanted a young offensive coach. It was always young offensive coach. They hired the wrong person, unfortunately. They need to rebuild. They've been rebuilding for, what, 5 years?
Yep.
Everybody needs to go. Wolf, go. Bye. Everybody needs to go. Bring in Ben Johnson. I don't really want Vrabel, to be honest with you. I don't want anybody with any Patriot ties. I'm so sick of the same recycling. Same recycling, the same coaches. But if that's what it, I'll take him over Mayo. It is what it is. But he definitely lost that game to, I don't know. He lied to the whole fan base and said, you're not trying to, how are you going to try to win if you're not playing Drake May? That makes no sense to me. He lied to the whole fan base. So Andy was right about that, and that's it. Andy's always been right about it, a lot of it. He said they're closer to zero wins than how many wins he said, and everyone called him crazy. And Andy was right, and that's it. Have a good night, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate will after time. That call. Yeah, that's a good call.
Oh, would good you call. Please? Would you please? Don't strain a lat reaching around to pat yourself on the back. One more call before we get to the top of the hour and get ready for the home stretch here on a very eventful Six Rings postgame show. The final one of the season, but one none of us will be forgetting anytime soon.
I think we should call it a postseason show. Like, it feels like we're like,
it does.
The postseason dump has happened. The postmortem dump. Like, we're already, it's supposed to be Black Monday, but it was Black Sunday evening. And I don't mean that racially. I mean that's how you say
that's
things.
That's just a term, everyone.
Okay.
I never
know in this day and age when people are going to get all hot and bothered about something.
Andy, if you haven't been canceled by now, you ain't getting canceled anytime soon.
Ooh, is that true? No. You think I'm like South Park?
Oh, no, you're not. Radio. Not
don't get any funny ideas.
Teflon by any stretch. Then I've always wanted to say the following words in this order. George is in New Hampshire. Hello, George in the 603. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, my guy. What a day, huh?
I tell you, if there's a way to screw things up, they certainly showed us this year. They can't do anything right. My biggest concern, I'm a season ticket holder, and some of my friends are too, and we're seriously considering not renewing or using them if they allow Wolf, which I really don't trust to pick any players. But if I have no choice, I'm not willing to sit through another season like that because he can't pick a rabbit out of a hat. I don't know what to do with that. So
yeah,
I just want to throw that out there real quick. I'm real disappointed as a fan, and he should be concerned about how the fans feel.
Well, you know what? Honestly, George, and thank you for the call, friend. Have a good night. I think a major reason why, like, I don't know if this decision was made as of Friday. I don't know if this decision was made Saturday morning. It certainly was made before Joe Milton delivered his postgame speech today because there was a 500-word memorandum that came with it. But I don't know when the decision was made. I do know that the fans and how people like George and Corey and Jake and everyone else that called in tonight on the show, Andy, I do know that how the fans feel was definitely taken into account before that decision was made.
Yeah. I mean, the fans are the pipeline into the organization, right? Even Gerard said that the other day. What did he say? They pay the bills or something like that?
Yep.
And they are. Now, to an extent, I mean, you can't, you know, kind of blow with the winds of whim of the fans. But when fans are chanting to fire him, and when fans are not showing up, and if fans are not spending money, and you have season ticket holders considering not re-upping and laughing at your team, calling it dysfunctional, sort of all the things we've dealt with over the last month, I do think that carries some weight. And there is a dark cloud over the organization right now in terms of fans and respect and hope and hopelessness and all of that. And as I said earlier, I thought the Crafts would have a longer run of respect than they've had. And I think the dynasty, the Belichick divorce, all of that cut into it. But the losing, the Mayo thing has only added to that. People are doubting, actually beyond doubting, some are hating on the Crafts. I mean, we've already had callers that say this won't change until the Crafts are gone. Well, the Crafts aren't going anywhere. You have the Crafts for the future. You have Jonathan, and then you have it being passed down through the lineage of the Kraft family. So they need to rebuild their image as they rebuild the organization as well. And I think a swift decision was part of that.
Mm-hmm. How about this? Latest report from Jeremy Fowler. Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator Liam Cohen could be a potential candidate for the Patriots head coach job per Jeremy Fowler. Fowler notes that Cohen grew up in Rhode Island, played at UMass, and coached at Brown, UMass, and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about now? Is he ready? And would you?
I don't think he's ready, and I wouldn't do it. To me, Mayo hadn't happened, you could have, but you went with the young up and comer, whatever. Now I think you need a little bit more stability and credibility, and. You know, Ben Johnson, I would include in the stability and credibility. Liam Cohen is a younger, less proven, and that doesn't mean he can't be right. Hell, Kevin O'Connell has become one of the best coaches in football, and now apparently is a trade target. You see those reports today?
What's that all about?
I don't know, but what can we trade?
Yeah,
because I would take him. I would absolutely marry him with Drake May and feel good about my offense.
Probably cost a lot.
So what about 27 other franchises?
But, you know, that so. Young up-and-coming coaches, I get it, get fast-tracked, but Liam Cohen to me seems, in the wake of Gerard Mayo, a little bit of a reach.
What about Sark?
I don't love that idea. I know he's cleaned things up. He's had some demons, and he's not the perfect and candidate necessarily. Now, he's had a great track record. He's a great offensive mind and has done a lot of good things. I'm not looking for a college coach. If I were looking, I either want an established NFL coach of Vrabel type, somebody with experience, or an up-and-coming coordinator, somebody from the league. The college route is not where I'm looking to go.
Sark is not my choice. Liam Cohen, I don't think, is quite ready as well. Cohen is the Bobby Slowick of last year. Is the Bobby Slowick of this year. Yeah, go ahead, bud.
I've heard posed to me Wes Phillips, who is Wade Phillips' son and the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. So he's Kevin O'Connell's lead assistant. He also comes from the McVay tree. Wes Phillips is a name that was thrown out there to me for offensive coordinator of the Patriots. So just a name to keep in your mind.
One more real quick. Can you go up Route 1, up 95, and down the Mass Pike a little bit and perhaps entertain a little chat with Billy O?
No, I don't think that's a great idea. Okay. I don't think Billy O should do that for his career, the way he's bounced around in recent years. I think he kind of
And he kind
to,
of like rebuilt his image this year with what he did at Boston College.
Yeah, and but even more importantly, he wanted that job. He committed to that job. I don't think it would be great for him, a great look for him to bounce that quickly.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 if you would like to weigh in with a final thought. Otherwise, we're going to home stretch it when we come back. One more quick break, then we'll get to thumbs up, thumbs down for the game today, for the season, our final thoughts on the season, and then we will bid you adieu for another excellent season here on the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI.
And this was a very decisive move. Now, if this is only the first portion of a move and they don't have a coach and piece in place after this, Ted, it feels like a panic move. That would be going from the frying pan into the fire. As I said to Phil earlier this week, they right now are in the ocean clinging to driftwood in the form of Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf. The only way they can let go of that driftwood is if they have a lifeboat passing someplace else that they can climb into. If they're just letting go of it, they're going to end up down at the bottom of the deep.
Tom Curran, friend of Gerard Mayo and our radio station. on NBC Sports Boston in their postgame show, reacting to the news that Gerard Mayo had been relieved of his services as head coach of the New England Patriots. He was on the job for all of 354 days. Let this be a lesson to any future head coach of the New England Patriots. Finishing 4-13 is unacceptable. Two coaches in a row, axed. How about that, Andy?
Yeah. 4-13, I would say, is unacceptable. And although, you know what would have been acceptable?
What's that?
3-14.
3-14 would have been. If they lose today, does he lose the job?
Oh, yeah. I firmly believe he was fired before the game.
Yeah.
Or knew he was going to be fired, caught wind of it, walked by the printer and saw the statement there.
Did Ted, the intern, forget to pick up the first draft of Mr. Kraft's memo again? Yeah. Oh, Ted, when will you learn? Let's see. Any other calls we need to clean up before we get to? Oh, my God. You people. You're unbelievable.
Whoa. We just heard the first you people, and it came from Fitzy?
Mm-hmm. First you people tonight. How do you like that?
The people are my people tonight. We're all commiserating.
Andy's probably going to sip on his first Miller Lite, staring out the window, proudly going, I finally broke him.
I feel like I've really, I taught you not to care what others think.
Yep.
And you're calling everybody you people. My work here is done.
I hope you don't regret that.
I'm hanging with Deuce tonight. We'll raise one for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tell Deuce I said hello.
I most certainly will. That's for those that don't know, that is the gentleman who took Andy's mantle at Patriots.com. Old friend of mine as well.
The most likable of the PU contingent.
Yes, indeed. And you brought plenty of the PU to PU and then some as well. But I love when the callers that used to follow you on that show call in, and then you guys have these tooth and nail arguments, kind of like the way you and Perillo used to go at it.
Well, that's that world. You know, we come from a world where you can fight, but you can still be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people get too sensitive fighting. Sports talk radio, you're supposed to fight and then be friends.
You have it out, and then you have beers afterwards, just like in hockey or rugby. You kick the holy crap out of each other and then go for a bucket of brews. That's how it works.
Not enough people can do that now. I would say it's lost in more areas than just sports.
It's a lost art.
How about in politics, where you used to actually have people that could cross the aisle and disagree on things but still have a beer afterwards and not like hate each other's like moral compass or whatever.
Well, we are your sanctuary city of football postgame shows here on Six Rings. Back to the phones quickly before we get to our thumbs up, thumbs down, final thoughts on the season, and a little bit of where do we go from here. Patrick's in North Carolina. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I wanted to throw out the next coach, and I'm going to go with a UNC theme. First, we had Drake from UNC get drafted as our QB, and our coach Bill went down to UNC. Mm. And so I think the next coach will be a UNC grad. And I think he also played as a walk-on at UNC, and that would be Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Ben Johnson is a hot name. He is going to be coveted and interviewed and requested around the league. Patrick, thank you for the call. Andy, what is it? So if it's Vrabel versus Ben Johnson, and there could be some other names that factor into the equation. I like the Marcus Freeman thing from North Carolina. Could be some other college coaches as well. What would you see, like, what's the vision of the team going each way if it's Ben Johnson versus Vrabel? Because one definitely gives off hard-ass vibes, and the other gives off fantasy football vibes.
Well, yeah, I think one is a younger, more modern, offensive-minded coach, obviously, and you're marrying him up with Drake May. Which is sort of the best way these days, or seen as the best way, because you can't lose him. If he's your head coach and it works, the pair stays together. Whereas if he's the offensive coordinator, you could lose him. Like Bobby Slowick, as you brought up earlier, was a hot name last year. Well, you don't really want to lose him 1 year after his work with C.J. Stroud. So I think that would be that sort of theory. It's also a really fresh start for the organization. As Adam Archuleta said on the broadcast, the Patriots have the Patriot way, and that's a thing of the past. And he's kind of right. You need to move on from the Patriots. He was very good. He was the voice of Patriot Nation. He was bitching about the results the entire game. I thought, last couple of weeks we've had some lower-level color commentators that have done a really good job. Our buddy Ross Tucker, and this week Adam Archuleta, who did a much better job than... what's his partner's name? Spiro Dito?
Spiro Ditas.
Did you see where he screwed up the memorial?
No,
they had lost a cameraman that worked for CBS, and he screwed up the guy's name?
Oh, no.
If there's one name you want to get right, it's when you're talking about a man who lost his life, and you have the little picture with the dates on the screen. Don't forget the guy's name. He called him Scott instead of Steve or something. It was unfortunate. Unfortunate,
awkward,
to say the least.
Yes.
Yeah. But with Vrabel, you're continuing the Patriot way. There's some shreds or threads to the Patriot way. Now, the next question is, if he really does include McDaniels, would that be a good fit? You know, would Vrabel and McDaniels, would people like that? Because I do think you could have McDaniels for a long time, because he wouldn't, he's probably not going to get another head coaching job.
No.
So if it works, you know, you could have him for 6, 8, 10 years, whatever it may be. Now, I would also argue, do people in the organization want him? If Elliott Wolf really is staying, is Elliott Wolf a Josh McDaniels guy? They worked together recently. So there's some of those questions as well. And that, I think, is the biggest question. Fresh start or threads of the Patriot way?
Great question. And on that cliffhanger, back to the phones. Craig's in the car. What's up, buddy?
Hey, gentlemen. I'll be brief here. And it was a perfect segue to what Hart was saying. It's, you know, if you go with Vrabel, you're hiring him to be a leader of men. You're not hiring him to be an offensive genius. He had Derrick Henry in Tennessee. That's where a ton of the success came from. You've got to make sure you got a guy with a modern kind of offensive mindset playbook. I don't hate the idea of McDaniels, but then it brings back to, was all the success because of Brady? I mean, I think you kind of have to start fresh, even at the offensive coordinator piece of it. But I'm okay with Vrabel sitting at the top of all that. But I don't know. Elliott Wolf shouldn't be here no matter how you slice it, but I have a feeling he may be somehow, and maybe he's more powerful than we all think he is sitting at the top.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, we've had reports already that he is safe. Then I had somebody who texted me to push back on that, saying, I'm not sure he's safe. And then I reached out to somebody else that said, yeah, I think he's safe. So seems like more signs than not point to Elliott Wolf.
Well, can I give you this idea from Phil Perry, who mentioned it on NBC Sports Boston?
There has been some reporting that the expectation is that Elliott Wolf will remain in his role as executive vice president of player personnel moving forward. I would say let's hit the pause button on those discussions, because whoever they bring in, whether it's Mike Vrabel or anybody else, that person is going to have a say, and the crafts know as well as anybody, Tom. Arranged marriages in this league don't tend to work all that well.
Yeah, no, I have a hesitation in believing that he's safe, but I can tell you that Chad Graff and Andrew Callahan heard from somebody that he's safe, and I heard from somebody else within the organization that's pretty knowledgeable that they think he's probably going to survive this. So I don't know if that's because they know Mike Vrabel would be comfortable with him. They might be further down the Mike Vrabel road than we're really.
That's my feeling.
No. Yeah.
That's my feeling.
He might have said, oh, yeah, I can work with him. I think that would be a decent fit. Or maybe he's being forced on him. I don't know. I'd prefer that it not be a forced marriage, as Phil said, because I don't think that's a good way to start a relationship.
All right, just a quick update, everybody. Tomorrow, Robert Kraft has scheduled a meeting with reporters at 1 p.m. I imagine that Jones and Keefe will carry that live on our midday program on our station. Then, of course, tune in on the final Patriots Monday of the season for Arcand and Hart's reaction to it, as well as the WEI evening program with your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens right here and Miss Megan Ottolini. So it should be one heck of a Patriots Monday here. We've got a lot to chew on, Andy, to say the least. All right, Hart, let's kind of try to wrap things up here. Let's quickly go through your thumbs up and thumbs down. Who are the players that did it? Who are the players that didn't, et cetera, for the game quickly and then on the season as well.
So the thumbs up, relatively short list. Joe Milton was at the top of it. Joe Milton was really good. Like, he ran when he needed to, scrambled. He made accurate throws. He showed off his strong arm. I think he even talked about it post-game, the touchdown to Booty. He's aware that it's a dangerous play, but he also is like, yeah, it's a dangerous play that I can make and he can make, and it was a smart play in the time. So Joe Milton, he was perfect for a while. What did he complete, like his first dozen passes or something? So a guy who supposedly has questionable accuracy. I think Alex Van Pelt did a nice job developing Joe Milton and preparing him for today. Joey Sly, I don't know if we're happy about it, but Joey Sly did a good job making his kicks to screw them out of the first pick. And then I'm going to talk about a group. I thought there was a group of defensive backs out there, some of whose names I wasn't overly familiar with, that were really good. I know they were playing backups for the most part, although Keon Coleman was out there the whole game, the receiver the Patriots wanted. They tried to trade with the Bills. I mean, the Chiefs, the Bills. They tried to trade up to get. Not the Bills. Whatever. Stop listening to me. They couldn't get Keon Coleman. Anyway, he was out there. And the DBs did a good job covering, and it was mostly sort of Alex Austins of the world and lesser Rands. They did a good job. Thumbs down list. Antonio Gibson, he fumbled. He showed you why. You know, they have fumbling issues in the backfield. That is an issue for Ramondre Stevenson and Gibson. Your guy, Caden Wallace, got some playing time, and that included multiple penalties from Caden Wallace.
Not great. Again, another part, right of Elliot Wolf, another part of Elliot Wolf's draft, which makes me think, yeah, you fit perfectly in on the season as well, but that makes me think that whoever comes in may want to talk to Elliot Wolf about exactly what his position is in the hierarchy or the drafting structure of this team.
And then the thumbs down is the management of the game. And I don't really know who this is pointed at. Robert Kraft, did you let Mayo know he wasn't going to be the coach? And he went out there as a lame duck and then ruined your chances at the number one pick. Was Gerard Mayo coaching for his next job? Did he know that? And he wanted to show that I go down swinging and I'm a winner to the end. I'm not going to, you know, give up my morals and tank. I don't know what, but the game management was terrible. They didn't know what they wanted to be. They start Joe Milton. I mean, they play Joe Milton after the first drive, and yet they tell me they're trying to win, and then they do win. So that whole situation was just an absolute poop show.
Absolute poop show. Indeed. Once again, this is the Six Rings Postgame Show brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy. Find out more at McFarlandEnergy.com. Now time for the Cars for Kids Player of the Game. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K, and have your car picked up today. I think it's Joe Milton, right?
Absolutely. 22 of 29, 241 yards, a touchdown. That was a 48-yarder. He ran around a little bit to extend plays, also had that pretty rushing touchdown, and then did his characteristic or trademark backflip that he did all over the practice fields. He got to do that on a game field in the end zone, so that was pretty cool. Responsible for a couple touchdowns, and I don't fault him. I can bitch all I want about losing the first-round pick. None of this is on Joe Milton. Joe Milton should go out there and compete. He did. Although a secondary option here would be Kayshon Booty. Caught all seven passes thrown his way, including Kayshon a touchdown.
Kayshon Booty is part of my team next year. And you know what? Joe Milton may have just earned himself a spot as the legitimate number two backup quarterback behind Drake May next year. We'll see what whoever the coach is going to be has to say about that. And on the whole, this season, frustrating, disappointing. Did not live up to any expectations, whatever they were, whatever you had early in the winter, the spring, the summer, as we tried to temper them from training camp, practices, OTAs, preseason, and more. Then, of course, we all got taken to the hill. Expectations rose, and we thought, hey, maybe this team is going to make us proud. Maybe this team will have some dog and some fight in them all season long, and we could be in for a really fun ride in the first year post-Belichick. Things fell apart. People started apologizing, and it just never got back on track. It turned into a giant mess, a mess so bad that a person that was so excited to get the job of a lifetime was relieved of it today, and now ownership is left to clean up the mess, a mess that they partly made and are having to pay for now. There's a lot that we're going to be talking about over the next days, weeks, and months here as the Patriots find the 16th coach of the organization's history, and you would be mistaken if you thought you could go anywhere else that would be better than the Six Rings podcast. WEI Afternoons and everyone else, WEI Evenings, of course, and everything else that we could possibly bring to you for coverage, analysis, information, perspective, and more. I'll say it has been a thrill, and I'm not lying, doing the Six Rings postgame show once again. Excellent season, Andy, and we finished on an unfortunate yet a high note, and I'm looking forward to whatever the next episode brings.
Yes, sir. It's been fun, even though it wasn't a fun season. I've enjoyed doing these, and I've enjoyed the fans. You people have been great most of the year.
Yes, there you go. Folks, let's mic drop on that. When you people get a compliment, you know it's time to go. If you enjoyed the show, congratulate Joe. If you didn't, well, you can't blame Braverman. He's the best in the business. Thank you for a great season of work, Joe. And thank you guys for being a part of the ride. This is your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens signing off at the end of the 2024 season on the final Six Rings postgame show. Today's final 23-16 Patriots win. They will pick fourth in the upcoming draft as they look for a new coach to succeed Gerard Mayo. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy Lions Vikings. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.